If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Doesn't it sound like Gomer Pyle? When he sang, it was this amazing thing. Who is it, Julian? Oh, Christmas tree, Tannenbaum. It's Wendy Snyder here in for Bob Surratt. I am the girl without a Christmas tree, so I will put lights on all my house plants. I like to say I'm a horticulturist because I collect plants, and our next guest is the person responsible for my hoarding, Tanner Mitchell, Tanner the Planter, you may know him as. Hi, Tanner.
Hello, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. I saw you and your lovely wife, Erica, on your live last night and was communicating with you. You've got a lot of stuff going on, including, is it the 12 days of Christmas going on?
Yeah, Wendy, we're wrapping up 12 days of Christmas today on our app and our social media, 12 days of different promotions and whatnot. It's been a lot of fun.
So winter is here, Tanner, and there's a lot of plant anxiety going on. What do we need to do differently in winter? Do we have to get grow lights? Do we fertilize in winter? Give us a few tips.
I'll say a grow light never hurts. Your biggest problem during the winter months is that we have less light available. Not only do we have less hours of daylight, but it's generally more gloomy. We just don't have as many hours. And since sunlight is what feeds your plants, sometimes they can start to starve a little bit. So you can supplement with an extra grow light, absolutely. I also find a lot of times plants that you keep more interior during the spring and summer months, you may need to move more in front of the window during the winter months just to get more light when it is available.
And what about fertilizing? I've been using, instead of a full capful, a half a capful in my gallon of water. Should I just discontinue it for the winter months?
You can. You know, as long as you have new growth with your plants, you need to support that new growth with the nutrients. You know, they need a few basic things to grow, and nutrients are one of them. So as long as you've got new growth, you can continue to fertilize. But I think that's great, like you're saying, just dilute it a little bit because they don't have as much light, so they don't need as much food. So you can back off on a little bit. Sometimes I'll just forego fertilizing completely during the winter months. It's not that big of a deal. Your plants won't suffer from it. Or you can just use an all-organic fertilizer, and then you're not going to risk any of the problems that come with over-fertilizing during the winter months.
312-981-7200 is the number to call. We're talking to Tanner Mitchell, Tanner the Planter. He has a new book forthcoming, For the Love of Houseplants, Caring for and Keeping Plants with Confidence. Tanner, honestly, it is all about confidence because I have learned so much from you, and really you're responsible for all the plants in my house now. So it is, you just have to try things, and you're going to probably lose some plants in your time, but you're the only person I know who honestly does not freak out if there's a spider mite or a fungus gnat. You're so like, we'll get rid of it.
I have this thing, you know, it's just part of it. I believe that experiencing the growth of a plant or a living thing like a plant, it's one of the most magical things that you can experience as a human being. And I'm not going to ruin it by getting upset over a yellow leaf or a spider mite or anything like that. It's just part of the hobby, and it comes with the magic and the joy of caring for something that is living, you know.
It really is the coolest thing ever. I've told you this before. I started with growing stuff outside like tomatoes because Mother Nature helped me water and the sun was there. And then I got a plant about 7 years ago and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't killed it yet. So then one by one, I added more and it is just so rewarding. So thanks for your tips. And how do people get the book? What's the best website for people to get your new book or to pre-order?
For the Love of Houseplants is out for pre-order right now. Anywhere you buy books online, the most major ones are going to be Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
We have some callers that have questions for you. Are you ready to roll, Tanner?
Let her rip.
All right. Marion is on the line. Hi, Marion. Do you have a question for Tanner?
Yes, I do. I have this large plant, this in about a 12-inch pot of angel wing begonia, and it's about 5 feet high, I believe.
Woo!
And there's only about 5 stalks to it. And the squirrels, I put it out on the patio under the overhang, which so it gets shade but a lot of light, and it loves it out there. So does my Christmas cactus, which doesn't bloom any unless it's out there all summer, and then I put it in the fall. But there it is, and the squirrels got in it and climbed on it. I guess they thought it was a tree. And it had about 5 stalks, and now a few of them broke off. But I just cut it back a little bit and let it go. But I have tied it up to a little stake now to try to support it while I've got it on, in the house. But I don't know what I should do with it. I should cut it back quite a bit. But it's standing on a table, and it's going up. I got plenty of room for it to go taller, but I don't know what else to do to cut it.
How does she save it, Tanner?
It sounds like you're doing all the right things, yeah. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're growing a begonia that a squirrel's mistaken for a tree, then you ought to be giving me advice. it sounds like you're doing all the right things with your cane begonia. I would just continue to give it that really bright light. Make sure, especially during the winter months, you got to put it right in front of a window where it has that big wide view. We water those cane begonias when they're about 25% dry. Just continue to support it while it grows upward again. And I say as soon as it's warm enough, get it back outside, and it'll shoot up with that new growth and be back to good in no time.
There you go, Marion. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Does it need much fertilizer?
During the winter months, use it like an organic fertilizer, or like we were talking about in the last segment, just heavily dilute the fertilizer quite a bit. My biggest thing for you to get through the winter months, I would actually recommend a mycorrhizae. That's what I would do.
Mycorrhizae.
Yes,
it's
a fungus.
It's a fungus. You can find out more at famousinoregon.com. Tanner the planter loves that stuff. Thank you, Marion. Good luck to you and happy holidays. This is a question that everyone has, I think. Kathy, what did you do to your plant? Did you kill it?
I don't know. I overwatered it, though, definitely. I only know it as the mother-in-law's plant.
Oh,
the mother-in-law's tongue plant. It's tall.
Snake
broad.
Plant, right, Tanner?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's got
a
lot of leaves. Yeah, and I knew that you didn't water it too much, but I hadn't watered it in so long, and I have other plants, and I just gave it too much water, and all the leaves curled in, and now I don't know if it's dead or will I just not water it from here on out, and it'll open up again.
Tanner?
Yeah, that's one of those things that... if you've got healthy material, maybe below the soil, if like your leaves are dead, you might be able to regrow them. But you need to let the soil dry out all the way in between water.
Right.
If you're going to keep these healthy. One thing that's
right.
often mistaken with those snake plants as well is we water them and the leaves or the water gets stuck in between the leaves and the crown of the snake plant. And sometimes if it doesn't dry out in time, it'll rot the snake plant away. It'll just completely crown rot it. So you need to let all that soil dry out. Put it in that nice bright light and see if we can get it recovered.
Try it, Kathy. It may work for you. And if not, you can cut off a snake plant leaf, and I cut a little notch in it. I think I learned this from you. And then you propagate that in water, and these little tiny white roots start growing. It's really exciting.
Absolutely. If you're trying to save it, like especially if it's sentimental, take a cutting. Just take a cutting right off the leaf anywhere you want along the leaf stem. And like you're saying, keep it in water. It'll grow new roots and you'll save your snake plant that way.
Yeah. All right. So one thing I totally learned from you, get a chopstick and check the moisture in your plant because we all tend to overwater and that rots the root and ruins your plant. Please explain to people, we're in Chicago. Granted, it's, 40 degrees today, but it's very dry. Our heat has been on. There are some plants, Tanner, that I haven't watered in 3 weeks, and they don't need it yet. You really reduce your watering schedule in the winter, don't you?
You absolutely can, and that's, again, because of that lower light or the less amount of light that we're getting during the winter months. However, I would caution, especially your listeners up north, sometimes in colder places, the heater is going to kick on during these winter months, and that actually causes your plants to dry out even more fast. So a lot of my friends up north actually report having to water their plants more often during the winter months because they dry out with all that dry air.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. But the bottom line is check each plant. You can't put them on a schedule, right? You have to check them to see if they're thirsty.
Oh, the number one mistake I see people make during the winter months is just continuing that schedule that they established during the spring and summer months when our days were really long and sunny. So, like, they figured out they could water every Sunday. But you can't do that in the winter months because we don't have the water. The light doesn't, you know, it's not available, so it doesn't process the water quite as quickly, and you'll end up rotting your plants. So absolutely check with a chopstick before you water your plants all throughout the year.
773, why are my pothos plant leaves turning yellow? That's happened to me as well. I just pull them off. Why are they yellow, Tanner?
Pothos leaves will turn yellow for a lot of reasons. If it's near the soil level, it's most likely going to be the oldest leaf on the plant. And that's totally normal for the plant to kill those off. Oldest leaves always die off. The cells wear out, they die off. If the leaves are yellowing and they're the very newest leaves, so the farthest away from the soil, that's actually a cause for concern. That's most likely a case of root rot. Mm-hmm. And then if you've got some yellowing leaves somewhere in the middle of the plant, most often it's fungal or pest-related. Of course, there could be other issues as well, but that's what I've seen in my experience.
I have repotted a plant a couple of weeks ago. I know you're probably not supposed to do it in the winter, but if you do it, slap that pot, Tanner.
Absolutely. If you got to do it, settle that soil and slap that pot.
All right. Get his book. It'll make a great stocking stuffer. You can pre-order it. It's called For the Love of Houseplants, Caring for and Keeping Plants with Confidence. And where do people reach you? Should I send people to famousinoregon.com?
The best place to watch us is on our app, actually. So if you go to your app store and you search Tanner the Planter, that'll pop up. That's where all of our new plants, that's where we go live. That's the best place to watch us. And then, of course, all of our social media from Tanner the Planter.
You are fantastic. Thanks for getting me into plants and wishing you and Erica and the rest of your family a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, ma'am. Merry Christmas. Thank you.